I wanted to include what I'm going to read to you at the moment in the program notes, but since this material is the property of another guy, I didn't feel like it would be right to reprint it, but it's a translation by Guy Wernham from an unpublished letter by Antonin Artaud, the late French poet. Writing to a critic who is a friend of his. He says, "Books, texts, magazines are tombs, tombs that eventually will be opened. The duty, I say again, the duty of the writer, of the poet, is not to go shut himself up as a coward in a text, a book, a magazine from which he will never emerge again, but on the contrary, to go out, to shake up, to attack the public spirit. If not, of what use is he, and why was he born?" A little bit later on in the same letter, he says, "The quest for a speech that any roadmender or dolt would have understood." And that is something of the same thing that I'm after, is speech that will be understood, if you want to know why this stuff sounds the way it sounds. I'm going to start in with an older poem, one called Martyrdom of Two Pagans. It was published in Moby. Jim Harmon tells me that there are a few copies of this thing left around for the benefit of those who don't have one yet. So if you see him or drop by the City Lights books, well, you can pick up a copy of this. Not on account of my thing in particular, but because there are a couple of poems in here by Denise Levertov, who is one of the best ones we've got going. There's stuff in here also by Charles Olson, whose poetry I admire very much. And there's some other things of Ginsberg and Robert Duncan that you would find interesting. At any rate, it's a handy book to have around to let you in on some idea of what's going on right now. Anyway, here is the Martyrdom of Two Pagans. "Out on a limb and frantically sawing, the sawteeth go dull and at last wear smooth, leaving us here, still throned in the air like the sage in the basket and the one in the jar. Either branch or tree will fall, or will both drop, sleeping. A heavenly meal for the animal saints who march continuously round the bowl. A distinction or a difference," I said. "Either one, a horn on Io's head, a giddy heifer chased by bees. All are immortal. Laugh and lie down." "Discriminate or perish," he replied, while all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" "Stay awake," he said. "Sleep is confusion. My eyelids have grown tea leaves for the pot. Brew it strong. Defy illusion." The weakened branch snaps off. We join the company of saints, remaining conscious, though dismembered, to the last. The sacred beasts all ate and marched and sang. "Love is better than hate. Love is better than hate. Love is better than hate and stronger than hell. For we took our shoes off as we fell." This next thing is a longer chunk called Sourdough Mountain Lookout. part of it is a poem that I began last year and thought I had finished, and then took a look at it again and worked on all the rest of the year until it got into the present shape that it is, which is quite a lot longer. This thing is dedicated to Kenneth Rexroth as head of the Skagit Valley School of Poetry, as he calls it himself. Kenneth has two new books out, incidentally, In Defense of the Earth and 100 Chinese Poems. And these are also available at the City Lights Bookshop. They're very good books, incidentally. Sourdough Mountain Lookout. I always say I won't go back to the mountains. I am too old and fat. There are bugs, mean mules, and pancakes every morning of the world. Mr. Edward Wyman, 63, steams along the trail ahead of us all, moaning. My poor old feet ache, my back is tired, and I've got a stiff prick. Uprooting alder shoots in the rain. Then I'm alone in a glass house on a ridge, encircled by chiming mountains. Morning fog in the southern gorge, gleaming foam restoring the old sea level. The lakes in two lights, green soap and indigo. The high Cirque Lake, black half-open eye. Ptarmigan hunt for bugs in the snow. Bear peers through the wall at noon. Deer crowd up to see the lamp. A mouse nearly drowns in the honey. I see my boot prints mingle with deer foot, bear paw, mule shoe, in the dusty path to the privy. Much later, I write down, raging, Viking sunrise, the gorgeous death of summer in the east. Influence of a Byronic landscape, bent pages exhibiting depravity of style. Outside the lookout, I lay nude on the granite mountain, hot September sun, but inside my head, calm, dark night with all the other stars. Heraclitus says, the waking have one common world, but the sleeping turn aside each into a world of his own. I keep telling myself, what I really like are music, books, certain land and seascapes, the way light falls across them, diffusion of light through agate, light itself. I suppose I'm still afraid of the dark. Remember, smart guy, there is something bigger, something smarter than you. Ireland's fear of unknown holies drives my father's voice, a country neither he nor his great-grandfather ever saw. A sparkly tomb, a plated grave, a holy thumb beneath a wave. Everything else they hauled across Atlantic, scattered and lost in the Buffalo Plains, among these trees and mountains. From Duns Scotus to this page, 1,000 years. A dog walking on his hind legs, not that he does it well, but that he does it at all. Virtually a blank, except for the hypothesis that there is more to a man than the contents of his jockstrap. Empedocles says, at one time, all the limbs which are the body's portion are brought together by love in blooming life's high season. At another, severed by cruel strife, they wander each alone by the breakers of life's sea. Fire and pressure from the sun bear down, bear down centipede shadow of palm frond, a limestone lithograph, oysters and clams of stone, half a black rock bomb displaying brilliant crystals, fire and pressure, love and strife, bear down. Brontosaurus, look away. My sweat runs down the rock. Heraclitus says, the transformations of fire are, first of all, sea, and half of the sea is earth, half whirlwind. It scatters and it gathers. It advances and retires. I move out of a sweaty pool, the sea, and sit up higher on the rock. Is anything burning? The sun itself, dying, pooping out, exhausted, having produced Brontosaurus, Heraclitus, this rock, and me, to no purpose. I tell you anyway, as a kind of loving, flies and other insects come from miles around to listen. I also address the rock, the heather, the alpine fir. Buddha said, all the constituents of being are transitory. Work out your salvation with diligence. And things, as one eminent disciple of that master pointed out, have been tediously complex ever since. There was a bird, lived in an egg, and by ingenious chemistry wrought molecules of albumen to beak and eye, gizzard and craw, feather and claw. My grandmother said, look at them poor bed-raggled pigeons. And the sign in MacAllister Street, if you can't come in, smile as you go by. Love the butcher. I destroy myself, the universe, an egg, and time to get an answer. There are a smiler, a sleeper, and a dancer. We repeat our conversation in the glittering dark, floating beside the sleeper. The child remarks, you knew it all the time. I keep forgetting that the smiler is sleeping, the sleeper dancing. From Sauk Lookout 2 years before, some of the view was down the Skagit to Puget Sound. From above, the lower ranges deep in forest, lighthouses on clear nights. This rock is a spur from the main range, cuts the valley in two, and is broken by the river. Ross Dam repairs the break, makes the trolley buses run through dim Seattle far away. I am surrounded by mountains here, a circle of 108 beads, originally seeds of Ficus asiaticus, bow tree, a circle continuous with one odd bead larger than the rest and bearing a tassel, hair tuft. The man who sat under the tree in the center of the circle, a void, an empty figure containing all that's multiplied. Each bead a repetition, a world of ignorance and sleep. Today is the day the goose gets cooked, day of liberation for the crumbling flower, knob cone, pine cone in the flames, brandy in the sun, which, as I said, will disappear. Anyway, it will be invisible soon, exchanging places with the stars now in my head, to be growing rice in China through the night. Magnetic storms across the solar plains make aurora borealis shimmy bright beyond the mountains to the north. Closing the lookout in the morning, thick ice on the shutters, coyote almost whistling on a nearby ridge. The mountain is there between two lakes. I brought back a piece of its rock, heavy, dark honey color, with a seam of crystal, some of the quartz stained by its matrix, practically indestructible. A shift from opacity to brilliance. The Japanese say, lightning flash and flint spark, like the mountains where it was made. What we see of the world is the mind's invention, and the mind, though stained by it, becoming rivers, sun, mule dung, flies, can shift instantly. A dirty bird in a square time. Gone. Gone. Really gone. Into the cool. Like they say, four times up, three times down. I'm still on the mountain. This is a very new poem, I just made up in the last month or so. It's called What Next? I want to go. I want to go out walking without flipping because the streets are only pavement, buildings, lights. Until then, I'll sit here wanting to go. Don't care in what direction. Without squalling when I get back that this cottage is only books, clock, typewriter, and toothbrush. I clamp down. I don't go. I hobble myself with ink loops, letters to all my friends. Going to mail them, there's nothing to do but wait for my kidneys to fail, the cyclotron at the rad lab to reach critical mass, the F train to jump the track and waltz up the sidewalk, the ground itself to jerk, buckle, and yawn, or the bay to overflow with a tsunami. A splendid, natural Monday evening holocaust. I don't have a worry in the world. For readers of Sir John Woodruff's books on tantrism, here is an invocation and dark sayings in the Tibetan style, also in two parts. Part one. The biggest problem in the world, where are you? And the second, To persuade you that I truly want you here. I mean, goddammit, that since you removed that celestial snatch from these now desolated regions, nothing. Blank. Vaseline, soap, hand lotion, cold cream, baby oil, raw eggs, butter, 1 pound of raw liver, delicately oven warmed, 1 cantaloupe, same, several chickens, 1 heifer, a dull but rather versatile young man, 6 assorted trolls. Double blank. Double blank equaling half nothing, with which I am supposed to be content while you retain the only delectable, sparkling, furry, magical, when are you coming home? Part two. Message to the reader. One half of me is asleep. When it wakes up, everything will be destroyed or transmogrified. You will never know what I think because I'm not saying. This is a picture of a man. The man is hiding something. Try to guess what it is. If you guess wrong, look at that old thing stand up there. A midge crosses the page slowly, then feels his way, wings balancing, along the edge and falls on his head. When he wakes up, boy, watch out. I mean, like, look where it comes again. You dirty bastard, where'd you ever get such a filthy mind? My daddy lay on a sunny stone, fiddling with his cock. The sun shone hot. The sun yelled, Sam! My daddy went home, but here I am. Knowledge cannot be transmitted. You can recount your own experiences, and a person who has had similar experiences might know what you meant. Perhaps that's communication. However, you will never know what I think. What you see is a dead idea. Now I'm thinking of something else. I can't tell it fast enough. This is another fairly recent poem called The First Day of November. I'll walk to the post office and then to work, seeing hot cinnabar geraniums, green circular leaves, dry heads and drying stalks of yarrow, hearing in my head, Ist das nicht ein schöne Welt? Schöne Welt? Schöne Welt und nimmer, nimmer. Maler. Don't see that rain I hear. Not rain after all, though the air is heavy and the war is on again. My own carelessness and inattention, goofing. Sphinx will have another medal on her chest. And the post office is closed in commemoration of the feast of St. Philation. The same sad war. The universal drag. I lost 4 teeth in the service. Schernevelt. I must have been bored without knowing it, and now the rain comes down. Fiche-moi la paix! This is called The Poets and Prophets on My Floor. They are asleep. One alone, blue pillows, two on an orange pillow, lonely, lonely. A man in his arms asleep, himself, grasping all space and finding only himself contented. The fourth, behind magic spectacles, feet crossed, arms folded across black sweater over yellow. I am boiling eggs. I watch. Whiskey. Part two. Having seen you again tonight, after not so long, I didn't know how long, your eyes the same. You really saw me, and you were sad. It broke me up. It keeps me awake. I won't be able to work this morning. Part three. Is there nothing else but these jobs and these poems preventing us, keeping us where we are, miserable, stupid, and starved? Only pride, ambition, a search for security, the place where nobody loves? I accuse you of nothing but beauty and loneliness. All other evil is powerless. I am alone among sleepers. This is another short poem called Further Notice. I can't live in this world, and I refuse to kill myself or let you kill me. The dill plant lives, the airplane, my alarm clock, this ink. I won't go away. I shall be myself, free, a genius, an embarrassment like the Indian, the buffalo, like Yellowstone National Park. This is an impertinence called Hebrew Variations. You don't have to listen to this one. Tell me it must be so. Say that I must do it, and afterwards that it is well done, that I am good, therefore, and that you are pleased or saved. It must be so that I may live and not die. Protect me. Love me. You are invisible. I chose you. Teach me. Do not leave me alone. You do not sleep. I sleep. I built the mountain and the sea. I am your child. I pretend you are father. You choose. My mother was a world. Your emblem is a serpent with my heel above your head. I have a pet snake that becomes a rod. It doesn't scare the king. He has one of his own. We are not friends, but he is grandfather. My mother was a water flower basket. My brother is a dolt. His children are musical geniuses. One blows horn, the other plays organ. My sister can dance and sing timbrels before Tamburlaine. Bread falls from heaven. Birds bring meat to me. Here in the wilderness, I pretend it is your tabernacle, and I am the Ark of the Covenant. Babylon shall be destroyed. She does not obey you. I warned her. She insists you aren't there because you are invisible. She is rich and foolish. I hear that her children are uncircumcised. They will perish. I survived both fire and water at your command. You are greater than all my enemies. People laugh at me. You send bears to eat them. This is another small sermon. The release itself, the comfort of your body, our freedom together and more, a revelation of myself as father, as a landscape, as a universe being. This breaks down here on paper, although I am free to spread these words, putting them where I want them, something of a release in itself. All they can say is your foot. Braced against the table leg beside the bed, springing your hips to admit my gross weight, the other foot stroking the small of my back. A salacious picture of a man and a woman making out together. Or ingenuous autobiography. Memoirs of a fat and silly poet. It might as well show them gathering tulips or playing cards. To say concisely that the man in the picture really made it out through the roof or clear through the floor, the ground itself, into free space beyond direction? Impossible gibberish no one can understand, let alone believe. Still, I try, I insist I can say it, and persuade you that the knowledge is there, that the revelation is yours. I'll wind this up with another fairly sizable chunk of stuff if you want to breathe for a minute. Well, I want to drink water, so. Mike McClure supplied the title for this poem. It's called The Slop Barrel. Toward the end of it, there is an anecdote about a bicycle, which is the property of my friend Grover Sales, and so he has to have the credit line here. Part one. We must see. We must know. What is the name of that star? How that ship got inside the bottle? Is it true your father was a swan? What do you look like without any clothes? My daddy was a steamboat man. His name was Lohengrin. His ship, the Swan. A stern wheeler. Cargoes of oil and wheat between Umatilla and the Dalles before the dam was built. I want to look at you all over. I want to feel every part of you. So we compare our moles and hair. She says, you have as many scars as my brother Polydeuces. Is that the mark of Asia on your body? It is different from my husband's. That's the only mole I've got. Don't look at it. I worry sometimes it will turn into cancer. The other person says, it was done when I was born. A minor sacrifice to Astarte. The priests lose everything. A barbarous practice, I suppose. And she, gods demand a great deal. This coming war, nothing will be saved. They claim it will rid the earth of human wickedness. Nevertheless, when we are vaporized to descend as rain across strange countries we will never see, the roses will grow human ears for petals to hear the Savoy cabbages philosophize. Part two. You say you're all right. Everything's all right. Am I supposed to be content with that? If I told you everything, you'd have nothing to say. If I fell to pieces, you'd walk away flat, a weather vane. Suppose we were the first to begin living forever. Let's start right now. Do you want this peach? It is immortal. Both my watches are busted. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Bao Budzu, in the later years of a long lifetime, is making those pills. I would prefer the hemp myself, since Sa Majesté Impériale took a red pill and was not. None of them artificial kicks for me. To show up later, riding a Bengal tiger, both man and beast gassed out of their minds, laughing and scratching. Pockets and saddlebags full of those pills. Come on, man, have a jelly bean. The business of this world is to deceive. But it is never deceived. Maya Desnudada and the Duchess are the same woman. Admire her. Nevertheless, she is somebody else's wife. I don't mean unavailable, I mean preoccupied. You and me, we make out. The question is, how to avoid future hang-ups, and or is this one of them now? We could take a decent time figuring out how to avoid repeating ourselves. I know where I'm going. I've been there before. I know when I get there, I'll travel no more. Do you? Are you still all right? I don't want you to freeze. I guess my troubles are pride and doubt. You are all right. Have a jelly bean. Here comes a tiger. Part three. By standing on the rim of the slop barrel, we could look right into the bird's nest. Thelma, too little, insisted on seeing. We boosted her up and over the edge, head first among the slops in her best Sunday dress. Now let's regret things for a while. That you can't read music. That I never learned classical languages. That we never grew up, never learned to behave, but devoted ourselves to magic. Creature, you are a cow. Come when I call you and be milked. Creature, you are a lion. Be so kind as to eat something other than my cow or me. Object, you are a tree to go or stay at my bidding. Or more simply, tree, you are lumber, top grade Douglas fir at so many bucks per thousand board feet, a given amount of credit in the bank, so that beyond a certain number of trees or volume of credit, you don't have to know or see nothing. Secure from all slop. Nevertheless, we look, and seeing, love. From loving we learn and knowingly choose. Greasy wisdom is better than clothes. I mean, I love those trees, and the printing that goes on them. A forest of words and music. You do the translations. I can sing. Part four. Between water and ice, fluid and crystal, a single chance. Helen, Bladioeth, manufactured entirely of flowers or flames, a trillium for every step, white trifolium, purple veined, later completely purple. The heavy folds of your brocade, black waves of your hair spilled across the tatami, black water smashed white at Suma. No permanent home. I just don't understand you. I'm really stumped. Petal from the prune tree spins on a spider web, slung between leaves, a flash in the sun. Baby scrooches around on the rug, trying to pick up the design. Pay no attention to me. The pen forms the letters. Their shape is in the muscles of my hand and arm. Bells in the air. At this distance, the overtone, fourth above the fundamental, carries louder, distorting the melody just enough to make it unrecognizable. You don't love me like you used to. You don't love me anymore. The sun has failed entirely. Mountains no longer convince. The technician asks me every morning, what do you know? And I am froze. Unless I ask, I am not alive. Until I find out who is asking, I am only half alive. And there is only half a chance that I will hear, woo, an ingrown toenail. Woo, a harvest of bats. Woo! A row of pink potted geraniums. Smashed flat, the Tonga Walla swerved, the cyclist leapt, and the bicycle folded under the wheels before they stopped, the Tonga Walla cursing in Bengali while the outraged cyclist sullenly repeats, you know you gotta pay for the motherfucker. You know you gotta pay for the motherfucker. The bells have stopped. Flash in the wind. Dog in the pond. That's the end of that. I was going to read a couple of other things, but I'm going to quit. It's so late.